This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us today, and welcome to Talk Louisiana. Ara Rubion, the co-chair of the Jewish Film Festival, will discuss this week's event at the Manship Theater. This event has become a major production every January in the Capital Region. Also, Democratic blogger and journalist Lamar White of Bayou Brief squares off with Republican consultant Ali Akbar, chairman of the Louisiana GOP Federation, Young GOP Federation, on Louisiana politics, with Governor Edwards seeking re-election next year and President Trump's declining approval ratings in Louisiana. The latest survey from Southern Media and Opinion Research has the president at 48% approval in our state, down from the 58% he received in Louisiana in the 2016 election against Hillary Clinton. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar is producing today with Sashika Bonchamp. And your number is 877-217-5757. And if you'd like to dial locally, we'd like to hear from you in Baton Rouge at 297-5633. Please send emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. Ara Rubion is with us, and Ara Rubion is the co-chair of the Jewish Film Festival. It's been around for 12 years, a major event in our city, and this is the week. It happens every January. And by the way, the other chairs is lovely wife, Julie, who is affiliated with WRKF. But Ara, you kind of took the flame from Harvey Hoffman, who used to visit with us, who was really the mastermind behind this event.
He really was. He was the person, along with his wife, Paula, who established the festival.
And you took over in 2012.
2012.
But he left quite a legacy.
He did. He laid down the template. He kind of set the pace, and we're carrying it forward. We love doing it.
And it's at the Manship Theater, and it starts on Wednesday, January 10th, in two nights, 7 p.m. It begins with a film called The Women's Balcony.
It's an Israeli film, and it's a comedy. And like most films these days that come forward as comedies, it also has dramatic appeal. Tells the story of a synagogue that goes through a tragedy, the collapse of the women's balcony. In an Orthodox synagogue, women and men do not sit together. They're separated, sometimes by a wall on the main floor, other times by putting the women up in the balcony. And so within the first opening scenes of the movie, the balcony collapses, and the film takes most of the rest of the story to tell what happened after that.
The tragedy overwhelms a veteran rabbi.
Yes. He is taken off the board, so to speak, and a new rabbi comes in who has some different ideas about Orthodox Judaism that kind of rubs against the grain with the women, if not the men. And so that is the conflict that's resolved in the story. And as I say, it's a comedy, and it's very respectful of the traditions of Orthodox Judaism, but really has kind of an edge to it.
Well, The Women's Balcony, which came out last year and was well received, is in Hebrew with subtitles,
right.
And all patrons must have a ticket to attend, this is something you welcome all comers. Certainly,
sure.
Don't have to be Jewish to go to the Film Festival.
I think the majority of our audience probably is non-Jewish.
Well, I would think in a community
like
ours,
Baton Rouge, so yes,
would be a necessity. That's why you've been around 12
right.
years. But there are people who tell me they go every year.
Yep, we have again. You know, we've been doing this so long that we have a fan base, and every year, especially on opening night, it's like coming to a family reunion. You see people, and it's nice to catch up with them and then share the film.
Well, The Women's Balcony is followed on Thursday night by a film called Keep the Change.
Keep the Change is a very interesting movie. On the surface, it's a romantic comedy. But it goes way beyond that. It's the story of a man and a woman who have autism. And this is a story of how they meet, how they fall in love. You know, the thing, you know, boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl at the end. The interesting thing about this on another level is that both the male lead and the female lead have autism. They are on the spectrum. And so it's fascinating from that standpoint to watch their performance.
So they're autistic people playing autistic
people. Method acting to the hilt.
Well, this one, Keep the Change, was the winner of the Best Narrative Feature and Best New Narrative Director prizes at the Tribeca Film Festival. So it's a production that is cutting edge, and it is Thursday night. Now, of course, no surprise, you take Friday off.
Take Friday off.
And then on Saturday, you return with another major production. And Saturday, is that usually your biggest night?
Yes, although in recent years, opening night has begun to kind of rival it. We do some promotions for opening night, primarily because people will see trailers for the following three nights. And so we like to kind of get a lot of people there so they can see what the rest of the program is.
Right. Well, we'll talk about Saturday and Sunday for the Jewish Film Festival. Four nights, four films, starting Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the Manship Theater, downtown Baton Rouge. Paul in Opelousas. Paul, good morning. Good to hear from you.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. Always a good subject and good talk to you. Happy New Year, too.
Happy New Year.
Question. I've never made it to the Jewish Film Festival. Love films. But what makes a Jewish film a Jewish film? Second question. Harvey Weinstein. I know it's in the subject, but would his film be considered Jewish films? And thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Great questions. I get asked the question, why is this a Jewish film, or what makes a Jewish film? The answer is very broad. At the most basic level, what we look for is a film that highlights universal themes within the context of a Jewish story, Jewish characters, a Jewish venue. We showed a film a few years ago that took place in Tel Aviv, kind of a slice of life, but told a story that was beyond just appealing to Jewish people. It was about a woman who had a housekeeper who was Chinese. She got deported, left her daughter behind by accident, and the rest of the story is her employer, who is an Israeli woman in Tel Aviv, trying to reunite the daughter with the mother. And we picked that as a Jewish film because it took place in Tel Aviv and was that slice of life.
And as far as Harvey Weinstein, he's a Jewish man who was big in the film business.
Yes.
But as are many others.
That's correct.
The head of Disney, Robert Iger, is a Jewish man. But what about Harvey Weinstein?
Well, you know, you'd have to pick which film we're talking about.
Have you ever shown any of the films that he's been involved with?
Not to my knowledge. I don't think we have.
Okay.
His films are recognized as independent films, but we tend to go a little bit less familiar films, independent films that people maybe couldn't have seen in a theater already.
Well, as mentioned, Saturday, the movie is Denial. It was actually made about a year and a half ago. But it's one that you have some well-known actors who are affiliated
yes.
with this and on the screen. Tell us about Denial.
Denial is based on a true story. It's kind of a courtroom drama. It tells the story of Deborah Lipstadt, who is an American writer who wrote a book a number of years ago about the Holocaust. And in being interviewed for that book was ambushed, I think that's the only word for it, by David Irving, who was also a writer but was known primarily for being a Holocaust denier. The conflict between Deborah Lipstadt and David Irving was that she refused to debate him. She said, everyone can have their opinion about the Holocaust, but you cannot deny that it ever happened. I will not debate anyone who has that view. David Irving, in a climactic scene in the movie, stands up in the audience and says, I have $1,000 for anyone who can prove that the Holocaust happened. He sues Deborah Lipstadt for defamation, for calling him a liar. And in England, where this took place, you are guilty until proven innocent. And so this becomes a courtroom drama. And, you know, you can Google it and find out what happened. But the fascinating piece of the movie is watching how it happened.
Deborah Lipstadt, by the way, will Skype in for a Q&A, won't she?
Well, actually, we've had kind of a snafu with her plane flights, and so we are not going to be able to host her. We were really looking forward to that. Instead, what we'll be doing is showing – there is a short before the film, which I'm just going to say is going to blow everybody's mind. It's a historical piece based on newsreel footage from the 30s. And then after the film, we're showing a short documentary that interviews the real people who are portrayed in the movie,
mm-hmm.
The attorneys and whatnot. And that's also very enlightening.
And before we get to the Sunday finale, which is a major production with a fine actor, a well-known one, Harvey, you came here from Detroit. Excuse me, Aura. I'm thinking of the late, great Harvey Hoffman.
I'm flattered.
But you came here from Detroit because of Harvey's daughter.
Yes, I had the good sense to marry into Harvey's family. Julie and I met in 2003, and we got married in 2004. I had never been to Louisiana before I met Julie.
And I would imagine in a city like Detroit, you have many people of the Jewish faith.
Yes.
And then the Jewish tradition is strong in this area, but there aren't that many people.
Detroit is not a gigantic Jewish population, but I will say it's easily probably 100 times bigger than Baton Rouge.
100 times bigger. So how do you like the South and the change?
I love this. I love this area. I have always had a fascination with Southern culture because in music and performance, especially in music, but also in sports and lots of other areas, it's a cutting-edge region.
We'll spend a few more minutes with Aura Rubion of the Jewish Film Festival, 12th annual event coming this week, starting Wednesday night in Baton Rouge, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. And coming soon, Lamar White and Ali Akbar, right here on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. 877-217-5757. In just a few minutes, we're going to hear from Lamar White and Ali Akbar on opposite sides of the political spectrum, and we'll talk with them about what's happening in Louisiana and, of course, what's going on nationally. 877-217-5757 is your number. And if you'd like to dial in locally, 297-5633, send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Aura Rubion with us for a few more minutes, and we're discussing this week's Jewish Film Festival, Barry in Mid-City. Good morning, Barry. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Good morning, Aria.
Good morning, Rabbi.
The Jewish Film Festival has brought so much of Jewish culture, understanding, and exposure for Jewish life around the world. I really commend you and our late Harvey, may he rest in peace, and Paula, Julie, all of you. And my question is, when you review the films, what are the most important criteria that help you choose a film for the Jewish Film Festival?
Great question. I think the shorthand that we look for, there are a couple of bullet points. Number one, we want a story that's compelling. You know, there's an old saying in the movie business, if nothing happens in the first 20 minutes of a movie, nothing's going to happen. And so we look for something that immediately has a hook that the audience can identify with. We also look for stories where there are sympathetic characters, ones with which you can have some empathy. We also look at production values. We like films that are polished and professional, even ones that are shot on a low budget, you know, that have a professional presentation to them. And so those, I think, are the big items that we look for. And then, of course, some of the things that I talked about before with, you know, Jewish themes.
And your finale on Sunday, the Sunday production, by the way, is at a different time.
It's a matinee. It's 3 p.m., and I want to give people a heads up. The Louisiana Marathon is going to have some streets blocked off Saturday and Sunday. If you go to our website and click on the link that says parking, you'll see a clear map that shows you kind of how to navigate to the parking garage on around the corner from the Manship.
This one stars Richard Gere.
Yes.
Who's not Jewish.
That's why they call it acting. yes, and it has gotten a lot of buzz. It's a different role for him. He plays kind of a nudgy, pushy fixer, you know, whose opening gambit very often with his so-called clients is, what can I do to help you? Because he knows if he can help somebody, then they're in, and he's the guy who knows a guy that you always want to call to try to get something fixed or done.
The movie is Norman, The Moderate Rise and Tragic Fall of a New York Fixer, and Richard Gere is a fine actor, and I've heard great things about this one. That's 3 o'clock Sunday. Mm-hmm. Manship Theater, the others are at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday nights.
That's correct.
And it's always great to see you, Ara Rubion.
Could I also plug the website? It's brjff.com. Complete details on the festival, and thank you very much, Jim, for having me on.
That's brjff.com. Thank you, Ara.
Thank you.
We're joined now by Ali Akbar and Lamar White. They're two young men involved in politics in Louisiana and beyond, and both have passionate thoughts about where we are in this country and in this state right now. Lamar is a prominent blogger. He's been around for more than a decade, first with SendLamar.com and now with Bayou Brief. And he is certainly familiar with our other guest, Republican consultant Ali Akbar, the chairman of the Louisiana Young GOP Federation. 877-217-5757. And let's begin with the state of Louisiana right now. Governor Edwards is ramping up for reelection, and as hard as it is to believe, the election is next year. We're actually 21 months away, and I'm sure the campaign will begin in earnest sometime soon, and some Republican candidates, maybe more than one, will be announcing within the next 6 months. But right now, the governor, despite being the only Democrat elected statewide in Louisiana, Lamar, he looks to be in relatively good shape right now. What are your thoughts about Governor Edwards and his reelection quest? Lamar White.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I think Governor Edwards is in great shape because he's done a great job, frankly. And I think that the people of Louisiana recognize that. I also think that if we look at Alabama, I know it's unusual that we only have one statewide elected Democratic official, but if you look at Alabama, what just happened there, I think that we should, Democrats in Louisiana should be optimistic. I think there's a formula for Democrats to win statewide.
Now, Ali, was Alabama an aberration, or is that a sign that Democrats may have a better chance of being elected in the South than in recent history?
Boy, was it ever. And, you know, I was on your show the day prior, and I think we all pretty much agreed that Roy Moore was going to win. I had one person in the entire country out of, like, the 50 friends that I surveyed said, no. He's like, I think that's a bridge too far for folks. And so, you know, I think John Bel Edwards is the walking dead, as I call him. And I think that this state will get back to the demographics that it likes, and that's conservative Republicans.
Well, who's going to beat him? You say he's the walking dead. Who's out there who can beat John Bel Edwards?
Well, off the top of my head, you know, I know five or six gentlemen who are considering throwing their hats in, and two for sure. And, you know, I'm not going to drop their names, but I think all of them would not fall into a situation that David Vitter found himself in 2015.
Lamar, the two most mentioned names right now are Senator John Kennedy and Congressman Ralph Abraham. Do you think either of them would be a formidable foe for Governor Edwards?
No, and I'm not sure why Ollie's reluctant to mention those names. Like, you know, obviously those are the two men that have signaled that they're going to run. I don't think either one of them is a formidable opponent. I mean, look, John Kennedy clearly is the most senior member of the Louisiana Republican Party, but he also formerly was a liberal Democrat, let's be honest. And when he ran against Mary Landrieu, the slogan that she used against him was John Kennedy for whatever. And I think once again, that can be reprised because it just seems like this man runs for whatever office is available at the time.
I think he had 7 million people view that interrogation he gave to a judicial candidate who was not ready for prime time. He's a man who knows how to generate publicity, and my guess, and this is one to both of you, starting with Lamar, my guess is that if John Kennedy runs, he will be well-financed and he will be a significant challenger to the governor.
I would assume so as well, and I think he's surrounded himself with a fairly competent team, and like that video demonstrated, he actually is a
really smart guy.
Like really smart.
Like you know, in Fable. You know, he plays a different role when he runs for election here in Louisiana. And it's almost like when the cameras are not rolling, although they were, we see that John Kennedy is, in fact, this, you know, UVA lawyer that went to Oxford. I think that it will be a formidable election. However, I still think that John Bell, with a 65% approval rating, should be, you know, comfortably feeling like he can win re-election. So,
well, Ali, you say there may be other candidates, and there very well may mm-hmm. be, but John Kennedy would seem to be the one who would be the one that would be able to get a campaign apparatus going quickly, raise a lot of money, and he certainly has almost universal name recognition in our state.
Yeah, I think that Senator Kennedy would be, you know, the leading contender, and I think that a lot of these gentlemen want to play nicely in the sandbox, and you know, but a lot can change, especially, you know, we have the majority in Congress right now. If we lost that, you know, why would Kennedy want to be up there? If we maintained that and Donald Trump wanted to tap him for something else, you know, you never know in politics. And so, you know, as we go forward, it's just going to be the wild, wild west. We'll see what ends up happening.
You're listening to Lamar White on the left of the Bayou Brief and Ali Akbar on the right, chairman of the Louisiana Young GOP Federation. Your number is 877-217-5757. What will happen next year? And, of course, President Trump's approval ratings are down 10% in Louisiana. We'll discuss that as well after the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Congratulations to the New Orleans Saints, who have advanced to the second round of the NFL playoffs, defeating the Carolina Panthers 31-26 yesterday in the Superdome, the third time the Saints beat the Panthers this year in 376 passing yards for Drew Brees, who turns 39 a week from today. 877-217-5757 is your number. If you're dialing locally, 297-5633. Two of the up-and-comers in American politics based here in Louisiana, Lamar White of the Bayou Brief and Ali Akbar of the Young Republican Federation. He's the chair of the Louisiana Young Republican Federation. They're on opposite sides of the political spectrum. And if you heard the preceding segment, Ali pretty much is declaring John Bel Edwards a defeated man already as he seeks re-election with a 65% approval rating. Lamar says the governor will be extremely hard to defeat, despite the fact that he is the only Democrat standing in a statewide office in Louisiana. 877-217-5757 and 297-5633. We will go to the phone lines from you, and we look forward to hearing from you if you're so inclined, and you can send us an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Now, I mentioned the 7 million views that John Kennedy received for his interrogation of a judicial nominee who went down in flames after being hammered by Senator Kennedy in a hearing a few weeks ago. Well, the Republican Party has been extremely active in putting out these YouTube videos, and the latest is from State Representative Julie Emerson, who's only 29 years old, and she's appealing to millennial voters, and Lamar has posted this on his website, and we'll get the reaction from Lamar and from Ali about Julie Emerson. But Ali Baltazar, can we get a sample of what Representative Emerson is saying in her latest video?
I'm Julie Emerson, and I'm the youngest member of the Louisiana legislature, and I'm a proud Republican. So you must be thinking, why is this millennial a Republican? And to that I say, why isn't every millennial a Republican? Almost 70% of millennials identify with Democrats, and many of them think they're socialists. They have fallen head over heels for Bernie, but I'm not sure they fully understand what that means. Those same kids will be back at their apartments later, arguing with their roommates about who spent the most on groceries. The 21st century Democrat Party has no real coherent economic message. Instagram and iPhones are the proud achievements of capitalism, but liberals are superior at branding their party. They're polished, sleek, they monopolize the mainstream media, the musicians, the artists, the actors, they're hipster. But American socialism or progressivism isn't some sleek new idea. It's more than 100 years old. Progressivism was invented before penicillin. It's older than the car radio. It predates World War I. It came before Hitler used similar ideas to capture the German economy.
All right, that's Julie Emerson, all fired up about millennials supporting Republicans, and we have two millennial guests in Lamar White and Ali Akbar. Lamar, your thoughts about Representative Emerson and her statements?
I mean, it was just bizarre, first of all, and she doesn't obviously does not speak for the millennial generation. That said, I mean, she's an Emerson originally from Homer, Louisiana. I know a lot of Emersons from Homer, Louisiana. I'd be... I don't want to speak against that family. They're a good family. I think she comes from, knowing that, I think she comes from a very privileged background. And it explains to me why she's so out of touch. I mean, what your listeners are missing are the video itself is just extraordinary. She's sort of comparing Bernie Sanders supporters to the supporters of Mao Zedong and Joseph Stalin. So it's really hyperbolic.
Okay. Is Representative Emerson engaging in hyperbole, Ali Akbar?
No, I was, I saw the video and I sent Julie a text message and I said, finally. You know, finally somebody had made the conservative Republican case for why some of us are in this party. You know, I myself, a half black, half Arab man, on your show, I've gotten the question, why are you a Republican? And you know, Julie gets that same, as a young, attractive female, an accomplished person, she gets that question too. And I think some people wonder, are you against the gays and are you against women's rights? And it kind of comes down to that. And for us, for some of us, it's not about those issues, or it is about those issues. It's more about a deep understanding of, economics and history. And so I like that Julie put those arguments out there. I don't think that she engaged in hyperbole. I guess I could think about some of the images that Lamar may have found offensive, but I don't think we ought to erase history. And there's some deep roots in progressivism that you can find in Mao, Stalin, and Hitler. And and Julie didn't do it in a distasteful way at all. So I thought it was an awesome viral video, and everyone around the country is loving it.
877-217-5757 for Lamar White and Ali Akbar, two young men on the rise on different sides of the political spectrum, to say the least. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Morning. Mr. Akbar, is there a concern that the GOP candidates for governor will break Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, as did Vitter et al. In 2015?
Ronald Reagan broke that commandment. I think it was 3 weeks after proclaiming it. So it's mainly a rule to not go too far, but we ought to challenge each other. So a primary would be very interesting. As Lamar has already pointed out, some might try to point to Kennedy's past and say that he tried to be all things to all people. But that may be what Louisiana is looking for, a populist who can be all things to all people. So I think the primary is going to be very spirited, but you will see nothing like you saw between David Vitter and his spies and thugs versus Angel and Darden. There will be nothing like that.
All right. Well, what about Lamar, a potential race featuring Ralph Abraham and John Kennedy? It would seem that would be something Governor Edwards would relish, to have the Republican vote splintered.
Oh, absolutely. And, I think the funny thing with the 11th Commandment, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but, Ronald Reagan got involved in the Louisiana governor's election in 1991 after he was, of course, after he, was no longer in office.
Yeah. He got involved for a Democrat.
Right, and also got involved for a Democrat when David Duke ran for state representative, and that was when he was president in 1988, right?
Well, that was actually Duke was running against a Republican in that race, John Treen, so that was an easy one for him. But the Democratic governor at that time, Buddy Romer, got involved and was supporting John Treen, and Treen lost to David Duke by 227 votes in January of 1989. Hard to believe, folks, that's been 29 years ago, but... But Republicans often criticize each other, and Donald Trump made an art form of it when he ran for president in 2016, coining all these names for his opponents. And I think that's just politics, that 11th commandment only goes so far.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the 11th commandment is probably not worth the paper it's written on. And we saw that, like you said, particularly last year during the GOP nomination process. But I think that Ralph Abraham will be a viable candidate. You know, it's someone that probably is not familiar to a lot of people in the New Orleans and Baton Rouge media markets, but I'm from Central Louisiana. He's our congressman up there, and he's been quiet, but he's been effective, and he's built relationships with people across mm-hmm. the party, across party lines, and I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. People do like him, you know.
Ralph Abraham is not only a medical doctor, he's a veterinarian, and he is well-liked by the Christian right. The Family Forum, Gene Mills likes him a whole lot, and apparently that faction of the electorate, Ali Akbar, is not all that enthused about John Kennedy. They might very well support him over John Bel Edwards, but they would prefer, in their view, a more pure Republican challenger, and I think it goes back to Kennedy's past, as Lamar said, mm-hmm. as what he termed a liberal Democrat.
Yeah, and, you know, from an academic level, this was really interesting, you know, and, you know, during Newt's revolution, you saw a bunch of Democrats become Republicans, and they survived Republican primaries. During the Tea Party, it was the opposite. You know, Parker Griffith in Alabama, there were a number of other ones that fell, and Democrats stopped switching, and they just started resigning. So that'll be very interesting. I think we may be past that. I think that Kennedy could possibly survive it, but I'll tell you, it would be an exciting race. Here are two men who are great storytellers. They got some swagger. I first met the doctor in 2014, and you know, he was seeking an endorsement from one of my PACs, and he flew down just to meet with me, and met with him and his now chief of staff, and salt of the earth guy.
All right. Stephen asks, Lamar, should Governor Edwards be fearful that the majority Republican legislature will work against him in 2018 with an eye on 2019?
I mean, yes. Yes, he should. Also, we should all be fearful of that, because the implications aren't really partisan. They're about the entire state. So hopefully the legislature wises up this session in next year and agrees to work with John Bel Edwards, who I think is earnestly trying to work with these people. I think our politics on the state level have been far too infected by hyper-partisanship. And really, you can trace this back to David Vitter himself, the guy that John Bel vanquished to become the governor. This era of hyper-partisanship is sort of a relic of David Vitter's leadership of the Republican Party here.
877-217-5757 or 297-5633. Your email is talk@talklouisiana.org. Lamar White on the left, Ali Akbar on the right, two millennials squaring off and discussing Louisiana and national politics, and we'll discuss the president, whose popularity level has dipped to 48% in the latest Southern Median Opinion Research poll, down from 58% he received in the election against Hillary Clinton in Louisiana. We're back after this two-minute pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on 89.3 WRKF. Ali Baltazar is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. We have Lamar White on the left and Ali Akbar on the right. And a question from John in New Roads, more of a statement. He says Donald Trump should be very afraid. He could lose by the largest margin of any presidential candidate in modern time. What do you think, Ali Akbar? Is the president, as you characterize John Bel Edwards, as a dead man walking, is the president on his way out if he seeks re-election in 2020?
You know, here I am, a guy saying fundamentals matter, and they may not on the national stage. You know, I don't know. Donald Trump rewrote the playbook for himself. I'm not convinced that it's rewritten for anybody else, and it may not be rewritten for him if he chooses to seek re-election. But it's anybody's guess. I was in a conversation yesterday with a GOP consultant friend in South Carolina publicly on Twitter, and we were going back and forth on this. And I just keep coming back to, I don't know. We just better keep the economy growing and eventually get on message.
All right. The economy is in good shape right now, historically speaking, but the president's numbers are not very good right now. But this is an election that is, it's 2.5 years away, a little more than 2.5 years away. But Lamar White, is President Trump in dire trouble with the American people right now?
I mean, his approval rating's in the 30s. And if anyone saw the Jake Tapper interview with Stephen Miller yesterday morning, I mean, he has sort of sociopathic, you know, people that respond, that are working for him, that are his PR folks. It's just, it's a comedy of errors. I don't know if either of y'all saw Oprah Winfrey's speech last night on the Golden Globes, but it sure seems like Oprah Winfrey, and this is on CNN right now, the headlines are on CNN, that she's considering running against him.
Yeah, she would be running, presumably as a Democrat, which could be exactly what Donald Trump would relish. He probably thinks he could beat Oprah Winfrey, and he might be able to. But in this day and time, we live in a different age. It's highly conceivable that somebody like Oprah Winfrey could get the Democratic nomination just as Donald Trump received the Republican nomination. But it would be a fascinating race with those two. 877-217-5757, Joshua on College Drive. Hi, Joshua. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hello. I just wanted to have a comment on the Emerson video.
Yes.
My issue with it is that it just seems to be part of the whole zeitgeist of American politics now that we keep talking past each other and having straw man arguments. So in her video, she talks about how democratic socialism is not this slick new thing, but some old thing that's been around for over a century. And it's odd coming from her because the nickname of the Republican Party is the Grand Old Party. That's been around since 1850. And she demonizes the left by comparing them to Hitler and Stalin and Mao, when anyone who studies political science knows that Hitler is basically an embodiment of Otto von Bismarck, who founded the welfare state, and Otto von Bismarck was a conservative.
All right. Thank you, Joshua. Lamar, I want to get you to respond, but Ali, he seems to be taking aim at Julie Emerson, who you just praised for her video.
Yeah, that was a bizarre retelling of history. One, Julie Emerson is also in a bid to become the next LA GOP chair. So a lot of this video, one, it's her own personal testimony, which we should want anybody to testify why they are anything. And so this is a video of why she happens to be a millennial, young, attractive female Republican, a conservative at that. And she's going to be, and she is running for chairperson of the state party. You know, Roger Billy has 2 months left. So, you know, the rest of what the caller said is just a really, really bizarre retelling of history that, you know, I'd need an extra 5 minutes to go over. So.
Mm-hmm. I remember when Julie Emerson won in 2015, she defeated a young up-and-coming Democrat in the Lafayette area, and that was considered a significant defeat for the Democrats, Lamar. And she's a force to be reckoned with at the age of 29.
Yeah, and she beat Stephen Ortego by about 200 votes, 230 votes. And from what I understand, Stephen's going to run against her again, and he should, because he should beat her this time and win. To the callers, the caller's point was a little rambling, but one thing that, again, your listeners can't appreciate until you see the video is that she does claim that progressivism is attached to, you know, it's old and it's attached to Woodrow Wilson. Just, you know, point of fact, Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican, was a progressive. So this idea that the Democratic Party has always been progressive, you know, it's just not true. I mean, the progressivism is not been, isolated to a particular political party in our country. So there's a few things that 29-year-old Julie Emerson gets wrong in her video.
A few listeners, Lamar and Ali, have commented on the book Fire and Fury, and I know both of you have opinions about it. You have opined about it, Lamar. It apparently was not a well-edited book, but it has created quite a stir.
it's not a well-edited book, and frankly, it's not a very well-written book. It's written very like a, I think someone said it yesterday, and I thought it was fairly well said, that it was like, it's like a Kitty Kelly book, if y'all remember those books from the early 90s and late 80s. I'm actually curious to know Ollie's opinion, because I know that he's close with Steve Bannon.
Yeah, what about the Fire and Fury? Steve Bannon has been taking a beating as a result of that book, and has he's questioned some matters in the book, but largely has not questioned the quotes attributed to him.
Yeah, I, I've been using the phrase no comment a lot lately, but what I will say is, you know, it is tremendously encouraging to hear my friend Lamar point out how dastardly the book is written. I hear that from a lot of my friends in the media and in the literary world. I have a copy. I haven't cracked it open because, I mean, it seems riddled with events that did not happen. It sounds like Steve did touch the third rail of the Trump family, and he is, I think, about to be put out to pasture. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know,
well, the president, Ali, has responded. He certainly has taken note of the book, and that resulted in an unusual tweet, even by Trumpian standards, Saturday, when he said he was, like, really smart and that he was a stable genius. This is something that is new terrain for American presidents.
Yeah, it really is a wild ride. I mean, you know, I'm a supporter of this president. I like the policies that we have with everywhere from, you know, China, Saudi Arabia, Israel, to our domestic policies, cutting regulations, getting through tax reform, repealing the individual mandate. I'm in love with this president's implementation of policy.
Well, I think at the six-month mark, when we were interviewing Lamar on the air with us with another guest, he gave the president an F-minus after 6 months. After almost 1 year, we're 12 days away from 1 year of President Trump. How do you grade the president, Ali Akbar?
I'm going to go ahead and give him an A-minus.
An A-minus. Not an A-plus, but an A-minus. My guess is that your grade is somewhat lower, Lamar White.
Oh, yeah, it's still an F-minus. If there were something lower than an F-minus, I don't know if there is. But, I mean, it's been disastrous. Every single day has been a disaster. And I know people that are sort of scared to look at their phones in the morning to see what this man has tweeted, you know. It's just a daily horribles, if you will.
Well, he did carry Louisiana with 58% of the votes. He got more votes in our state in 2016 than any candidate in the history of Louisiana. And he will be certainly strong if he runs for re-election in the South. But is there a possibility that our state, which has not gone to a Democrat in a presidential election since 1996 when Bill Clinton won, could possibly vote for a Democratic challenger against President Trump? Lamar, is that beyond the realm of possibility, or is it something that could become a reality?
I think it's something that could become a reality. And again, if you look at what happened in Alabama, and I think what's going to happen in Mississippi this year, there's going to be a very strong Democratic candidate there. I think Democrats need to learn how that the South is ripe for them, that if it's just a matter of putting together the right coalition, which exists here. So, yes, Donald Trump did win Louisiana by double digits, but, you know, Bill Clinton won in 1992 and won again in 1996. The state is takeable for Democrats.
Is President Trump safe in the South and in Louisiana in his reelection quest, if it happens, Ali Akbar?
Donald Trump is safe in the South, but I will say that I think Lamar is right to say that, you know, the right candidate with the right money could put the right coalitions together in several of these states. I warn my friends, like, you know, while we're busy watching Arizona and New Mexico, we've got to be very careful of Georgia and South Carolina eventually. And so, you know, my party's got to do a lot more engagement with the black vote, or, you know, our impending doom isn't going to be from Hispanics.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to catch up with both of you gentlemen, Lamar White and Ali Akbar, and we'll be calling again soon. Tomorrow we'll be talking about the president and the media. Among our guests, Lynn Apkar, the former New York Times reporter who's now a professor at Louisiana State University's Manship School. For Ali Akbar and Lamar White and Ali Baltazar and Sasha Boschow, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.